ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। एट चैप्टर एट टेक्स्ट नंबर 12 चैप्टर एंटाइटल द चर्निंग ऑफ मिल्क ओशन। ऋषय कल्पयाम चक्रो आभिषेकं यथा विधि जगो भद्राणि गंधर्वा नट्यश्च नन्दितो जगो। ऋषय ट्रांसलेशन बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन: The great sages perform the bathing ceremony of the goddess of fortune as directed in the authorized scriptures. The Gandharvas chanted all auspicious Vedic mantras, and the professional women dancers very nicely danced and sang authorized songs prescribed in the Vedas. No purport to this particular verse. So we go on to 13 and 14. मेघा मृदंग पणव मुर जानक गोमुखा वेनादयन शंक वेणु विनाश तुमुल निश्वनान। ट्रांसलेशन: द क्लाउड्स इन पर्सनिफाइड फॉर्म बीट वेरियस टाइप्स ऑफ ड्रम्स नोन एज मृदंगास पणवस मुरजस एंड आनकस। दे ऑल्सो ब्लू कॉन्शल्स एंड ब्यूगल्स नोन एज गोमुखस and played flutes and stringed on instruments. The combined sound of these instruments was tumultuous. Text number 4. Tato Vishishichur Devim Shriyam Padma Karam Satim Digiba Purnak Kalashai Sukta Vakyar Dvijeritai. Translation: Thereafter, the great elephants from all the directions carried big water jugs full of Ganges water and bathed the goddess of fortune to the accompaniment of Vedic mantras chanted by learned Brahmanas. While thus being bathed, the goddess of fortune maintained her original style with a lotus flower in her hand, and she appeared very beautiful. The goddess of fortune is the most chaste, for she does not know anyone but the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The goddess of fortune Lakshmi is described in this verse as Shriyam, which means that she has six opulences: wealth, strength, influence, beauty, knowledge and renunciation. These opulences are received from the goddess of fortune. Lakshmi is addressed here as Devi, the goddess, because in Vaikuntha she supplies all the opulences to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees, who in this way enjoy natural life in the Vaikuntha planets. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is pleased with his consort, the goddess of fortune, who carries a lotus flower in her hand. Mother Lakshmi is described in this verse as Sati, the supremely chaste, because she never diverts her attention from the Supreme Personality of Godhead to anyone else. Hare Krishna. So in this particular verse, that is verse number 14, Lakshmi ji is addressed as the most chaste, and Srila Prabhupada in the purport, at the end of the purport, he mentions that why she is chaste. She is chaste because she never diverts her attention from the Supreme Personality of Godhead to anyone else. So this particular quality of chastity, as Srila Prabhupada mentions, is one of the most important virtues, especially for a woman. We have many examples in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam which highlight this principle of chastity among the women. In the Chaitanya Charitamrit, there is a wonderful story where a leper Brahman was interested in having or wanted to enjoy a prostitute. And he had a very chaste and beautiful wife. Even though he had that fortune with him, that having a wife who is very chaste and beautiful, but still he was attracted to that prostitute and he wanted to enjoy her. So knowing the intention of her husband, this particular lady decided that I should please my husband. And she went to that prostitute, served her in such a way that she gains her favor. And when the prostitute asked her, "What do you want?" he said, "Please give me this particular opportunity that my husband can enjoy with you." And the prostitute agreed to do that. And when the husband was taken to that place, and when the husband realized what mistake he has done, he realized that, and he repented for his sins and begged forgiveness. But on the way back, it is mentioned that he accidentally happened to touch his foot to Markandeya Rishi. And Markandeya Rishi, out of anger, he cursed that particular leper that he will die before sunrise. This lady understood that my husband will never be alive before sunrise. So she vowed that the sun will never rise the next day. And it was to happen like that. And seeing that power of chastity, Brahmaji and Shivji, Vishnu, they all were very pleased and gave her the benediction that your husband will live. And this particular story was depicted to highlight many aspects, but one of the aspects is that the power of chastity. That how this lady, because of her chastity, she was able to have that power by which she can make the sun not rise. And that was possible. It's not that something which we say out of nothing. But the power of chastity was like that it could give so much of strength to the woman that could be there. And so much so that the personality like Lord Brahma had to come down and then actually, you know, give her the benediction that the husband will live. So here we find that how much, you know, power that a chaste woman can really have. We even find in the story of Mandodari. Her husband was a demon, Ravana. He had kidnapped so many ladies. Mandodari was very chaste to her husband. And when Ravan kidnapped Sita, Mandodari could perceive the destruction that Ravan could definitely have. She knew that it's going to happen. In fact, she approached Ravan that he said, "Please don't do this. If you do this, then there will be destruction of your entire dynasty." Ravan could not understand this. And Ravan had to, you know, kidnap. He wanted to just somehow the exploiter. But of course, because of Sita's power of chastity, he could not do that. And he also had a curse that he could not touch a person, a lady, by force. If he does that, then he'll die. He knew that. So willingly, if somebody agrees, then he could enjoy. But here, this point was highlighted just to say how Mandodari was so chaste, she could perceive that this could be a problem. And she warned Ravan of the danger. But then, Ravan did not. If only Ravan would have just listened to Mandodari, then there would have been peace, there would have been prosperity, and there would have been well-being in the entire dynasty. Prabhupada mentions that a chaste woman can bring in about peace, prosperity and well-being in the house. So if this Ravana had listened to Mandodari, probably he would not have had to undergo this particular state, which he had to ultimately at hands of Lord Ram. We also see how when a lady who submissively serves her husband dutifully with faith can gain immense benefits also. We see in the third canto the story of Kardama Muni and Devahuti. That Devahuti was a princess, a very, very beautiful princess. She was so beautiful, it said that the demigods, when they would fly from the heaven in their airplanes, when they would see Devahuti, they would fall down from their airplanes. For demigods, you know, anyone from the earthly planet would be, as His Holiness Radhana Maharaj would say, they would appear like cockroaches for them in beauty. But this lady was so beautiful that demigods, when they would see her beauty, they would just faint. And Swayambhu Manu, the father, he gave her in marriage to Kardama Muni, who had no house of his own. Forget of anything, not even a house, not even a shed, nothing. He saw his character and then he wanted to give his daughter in marriage to Kardama Muni, knowing that she will be very happy. Not from the bodily concept, but from the spiritual point of view. And Devahuti agreed to that proposal. And she served her husband so nicely, that, you know, the Srimad Bhagavatam mentions that so much of hardships that she had to undergo. She became so thin, lean, her hair was completely shriveled. And in spite of all these things, she never complained at all. She never even pleaded to her husband that give me some small place. Give me some small bedroom for myself. Nothing like that. She had to be with her husband in heat and cold, in all situations of life. She was serving her husband faithfully, without even complaining, even for a smallest thing. And that particular quality of Devahuti made Kardama Muni, or inspired Kardama Muni to some other, by his mystic powers, build a wonderful mansion and ultimately, you know, bring forth a wonderful child who was none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Kapila Dev. You know, so Srila Prabhupada mentions that when a chaste lady, when serves her husband faithfully, then definitely there is bound to be wonderful Krishna conscious children who would be a wonderful asset to the society. Krishna mentions in the Arjun, in fact, in the mentions of the Bhagavad Gita, why he doesn't want to fight. He says, if I fight, then I'll kill all these people and there will be widows. And because of this, there will be so much of exploitation, there will be unwanted progeny. Unwanted progeny is Varna Sankara. So Arjun was also aware of this, that if the women are not protected, if they are left as widows, they will be exploited and there will be unwanted progeny which is going to be there. But here you find that Devahuti was serving her husband so nicely that Kardama Muni begot in her a wonderful offspring, was none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Kapila Dev, who later on, you know, gave so nice instructions for the benefit of all of us. We even find in the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam the story of Sukanya. Sukanya was a daughter of a very, very powerful king, Shariati. And he said that she was also very beautiful. But once they were on a hunting expedition, and then she was also with her maids. And she saw that within the whole of earthworm, there were two glows, something which is glowing. So she did not realize that there is some personality inside who is meditating. And she took some thorns and then pierced in those holes, little realizing that she was actually piercing the eyes of a sage, Chavan Rishi. And when this happened, Chavan Rishi uttered a curse. And because of a curse, The king and all his entourage could not pass urine. And they were in complete agony. And the king realized that something has gone wrong. Otherwise, never possible. You know, they were so subtle. Everything could be, they would understand. When anything would happen, they would understand something is wrong. As Madan Gopal would say, you know, things become subtle when you just rise above that mode of goodness. So here, Shariyati could understand that something is wrong. And then when he asked, is there anything that anybody has committed? Then Sukanya confessed that this is what has happened. And he realized, because he knew that there was an ashram of Chavan Muni and then something may have been done to this Rishi. And this Sukanya accepted that fault and he went to beg forgiveness from Chavan. Chavan Rishi was not a very nice looking saint. He was a very ugly saint. Old hunchback saint. And when he went there to beg forgiveness, Chavan Rishi looked at the daughter, that is Sukanya. And the king understood that the only way I can really, escape from the curse of Chavan is that if I give my daughter in marriage to this Rishi. Now just imagine, such a beautiful princess and the father gives that princess in hand not to a handsome prince but a very old ugly looking Rishi. But the king had to do this and then Sukanya willingly she accepted this proposal. Willingly she accepted the proposal. And not that grudgingly, willingly. Srila Prabhupada mentions in the Srimad Bhagavatam purport that she willingly accepted. And willingly means in actions she would serve. She served her husband so nicely. She served her husband who was ugly looking. You know, nobody would even dare to enjoy him if there was even in this material world at this time. But so nicely, so faithfully served, she served him that Chavana, Prabhupada mentions in the purport also. He says, this is what is Vedic civilization. He says, many things to learn from this. He says, number one is that whatever the father gives, whatever the father chooses for the daughter, that the daughter has to accept. And number two, what Srila Prabhupada is mentioning that even if the daughter doesn't like the husband, the daughter should serve the husband. There's no question of divorce. Srila Prabhupada mentions this very, very clearly. There's no question of divorce in Vedic civilization. One has to serve willingly her husband in whatever situation the husband is in. And Sukanya serves her husband. Chavan Rishi understands this. So he approaches the Ashwini Kumars. And he says, please give me my youth. And in exchange, I will give you an opportunity to drink the somras. Because Ashwini Kumars would never get that somras. They are not entitled to have that. So, but then there was an exchange offer. He says, you give this and I will give you the somras. So the Ashwini Kumars agreed to this proposal and they took him to a lake and they dipped him out, came out and then wonderful handsome man came out from there. And Srimad Bhagavatam mentions that all three of them are looking very, very beautiful. Looking alike. And they all approached. They went in front of Sukanya. And Sukanya could not understand who her husband would be. They said to identify who the husband is. Sukanya could not. So she just surrendered to the Ashwini Kumars and said, please tell me who my husband is, you know. And it is said that the Ashwini Kumars by the they were very happy by the chastity of Sukanya and they revealed to them her husband. And in the purport also Srila Prabhupada mentions that Sukanya saw this wonderful handsome person right in front. It's not that she diverted her attention away from her husband. He said, oh, now right now my husband is in front or right now my husband is away. This someone else, oh, so nice. Now I have a wonderful person whom I can enjoy. Now Sukanya's mind was always remembering the husband, Chavana Rishi. And she was actually pleading to Ashwini Kumars, please reveal to me my husband, who my husband is. And Ashwini Kumars, by her chastity, they just revealed who this husband was. And Chavan Rishi regained that youth. And ultimately when Shariti came to know, Shariti did not realize, understand what all things have happened. And when Sharir saw Sukanya next to a very wonderful, handsome husband, handsome man, he started chastising. He said, "You foolish woman, how can you leave your husband and associate with someone else?" But then Sukanya had to tell him that this is what has happened. And then ultimately, when Shariti understood, he became very happy. And Prabhupada also glorifies the nature of Sukanya over there. And then later on, of course, he, with the help of Shariti, performed a yagya, and then from where the Somras came and Ashwini Kumars were given their portion. So here we find that how Sukanya, by her dint of service attitude and faithfulness and submission, she just pleased her husband. And then ultimately she got to enjoy the youth of her husband also. We also see that how when someone insults a chaste woman, what happens? Very glaring example of Draupadi. Prabhupada mentions also that in the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada mentions the purport that because the Kauravas, they insulted Draupadi in the assembly, that's why the duration of life decreased. They had to meet an untimely death. So it happens like this, that whenever anybody tries to insult a chaste woman or tries to intrude or try to exploit, then what happens is that there's only going to be disaster, nothing else. It's only going to be disaster. So this is seen in the life of, in the example of Draupadi, that when Draupadi was being exploited, that time, of course, Krishna, Prabhupada mentions that Krishna did everything to protect the chastity of Draupadi. Krishna did everything necessary. He provided her with unlimited sari. He did everything, whatever was necessary to protect the chastity of Draupadi, it was done. But Krishna never forgave the ones who tried to destroy or tried to disturb the chastity of Draupadi. And that's why the Kauravas had to meet the untimely death. So Srila Prabhupada mentions in many places that these are some of the examples from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srila Prabhupada mentions that, when a woman is chaste, in fact he says that a training for the girl is chastity and training for a man is brahmachari. And said when a woman is trained to be chaste and when she gets married to a husband who is very well trained in the principles of Vedic scriptures, and when they come together, then said both attain liberation and go back home, back to Vaikuntha. That's what Srila Prabhupada mentions, that if a woman is chaste and faithfully follows her husband till the end of the life, then both of them attain liberation and go back to Vaikuntha Loka. Chanakya Pandit mentions, very nicely, a beauty of a cuckoo in his sweetness. The beauty of a woman is in his chastity. The beauty of a ugly man is in his giving of knowledge. And beauty of an ascetic is in, power of forgiveness. So the chastity is very much highlighted and exemplified here. Srila Prabhupada in his own life, he would always give these two wonderful glaring examples, which all of us know, but we'll try to repeat them. Srila Prabhupada said that how this shyness is a beauty of a devotee, of a woman, or ornament of a woman. And that is also one of the qualities of being chaste. Prabhupada mentions that in 1945, when he was traveling in a train, there was a village girl who had just got married to a boy from the other village, because during those time the girl would be married immediately after puberty at a very young age, and she would be going to her husband's on and off some time and then come back like that, just so that she develops a relation. Once she grows up to a particular age, then she would be sent to her husband's home. So this village girl was in the train, and she had her veil on her head. And there was another lady from the city who was trying to make fun of this lady. She would try to open her veil, lift her veil all the time. So once she tried, and this village girl tried to cover her face. And again, she tried to lift. Again, she tried to cover her face. And the third time she tried to lift, the village girl slapped that city girl. And Srila Prabhupada was sitting there, and Srila Prabhupada said, "Very good. He's right." And Srila Prabhupada said that this is what is, Srila Prabhupada is telling that the city girl thought of making fun. City girl thought, "What is this nonsense?" So she thought that, why is she doing like this? So she tried to make fun of her. But the village girl slapped and made her realize. And Prabhupada said, "This is what is Vedic culture, He says, "This is what is Vedic culture." Another example of shyness, Srila Prabhupada was mentioning that he was with one friend of his, Dinanath Mishra. And they were sitting in the entrance of their house, on the steps. So Srila Prabhupada's friend was sitting on the other side and Srila Prabhupada was sitting on this side. And they were talking across. And this street sweeper came with a broom in her hand. And as soon as she saw both of them talking, she did not, straight away pass by them. She just stood there shyly. She covered her head. Basically, she was waiting for them to make space, way for her to enter the house. It's not that she just barged into the house straight away, push and go inside. No. And then Prabhupada realized, and Prabhupada then says, "Okay." They just made way, they just moved aside and then allowed her to go inside. And she quietly just went inside. And Srila Prabhupada mentioned that this is very nice statement Prabhupada said. This shyness is a natural valve of a society. Valve. We have valves. Water pipes, there's valve. He says, if this is destroyed, then there's disaster in the society. And that is what is happening in the present civilization. That, now under the banner of free for all, we find that, there is so much of exploitation taking place. There's no concept of shyness. Nothing. In fact, Srila Prabhupada mentions that simple clothing enhances the prestige and the chastity or beauty of a woman. The simple clothing. So that's why in the Vedic system, there was a sari, wearing a nice, wonderful sari, and a woman would always be very, submissive in front of others. So that was what was really expected from a woman. But now, under banner of, just free, you wear. And then Prabhupada said that this is what is exploitation. Women get exploited, and ultimately, there is no question of any chastity remained whatsoever. So, Prabhupada really emphasized that particular system, when a woman is chaste, then that's really the asset to the whole society. In fact, just to extrapolate this, Srila Prabhupada mentions that how a devotee also has to be chaste to the Supreme Personality of Godhead or to his spiritual master. Just as a woman is chaste, the devotee also needs to be chaste. And Prabhupada, many places, he mentions the chastity. Here how Prabhupada says that Mother Lakshmi, she is supremely chaste because she never diverts her attention from the Supreme Personality of Godhead to anyone else. Prabhupada says that if at all a devotee has any inclination for enjoyment and if he turns to anyone else apart from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is unchaste. Even to the demigod, if he approaches even a demigod for his personal enjoyment, whatever, then Prabhupada says he is an unchaste person. That's what Prabhupada mentions. He says chastity means being true, or you can say pure in thoughts and acts to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Very nice example in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Murari Gupta. Murari Gupta was a great devotee of Lord Ramchandra. And Murari Gupta was a regular associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu right from the childhood. And once Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him that, "Why don't you chant the names of Krishna?" It would be nice. So Murari Gupta thought I should follow the instruction of Lord Chaitanya, and he tried to chant the names of Lord Krishna. But then after some days, he approached Lord Chaitanya and said, "Please, my dear Lord, allow me to commit suicide." So Murari Gupta, Chaitanya said, "Why?" He said, I've never been able to follow your instructions. You have asked me to chant the name of Krishna, but every time I would chant the name of Krishna, the name of Lord Ram would come on my tongue. Please allow me to commit suicide." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorifies Murari Gupta, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, "I wish I could be as faithful as you can be, you know, because you're so faithful to your Lord Ram that, you know, you cannot divert your mind away from the name of Lord Ram." And then Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami makes a very wonderful statement. There's two lines in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says, "Sehi bhakta dhanya yena chadi prabhura charana, sehi prabhura dhanya yena chadi nicha jana." He says, "Sehi bhakta dhanya yena chadi prabhura charana." He says, that person, that bhakta or devotee is glorious who never leaves the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And "Sehi prabhura charana yena chadi nicha jana." And he says, that Lord is glorious who never leaves his devotee. Now just see what sort of investment it is, you know. That when you take shelter of the Lord, when you remain chaste to him, there is always a reciprocation. The Lord also will not leave you. So "Sehi bhakta dhanya yena chadi prabhu charana, sehi prabhu charana yena chadi nija jana." And the next line is very nice. Says, "Durdaiva sevaka yadi yaya anyasthane." Durdaiva sevaka yadi yaya anyasthane. For some reason, unfortunately, if this devotee leaves the lotus feet of the Lord and goes somewhere else, then what happens? "Sehi prabhu radhanya tare chuli dharyane." He says, that person, that glorious Lord, what will he do? He will get him back by his hair. That's why we have Shika. So that if at all, if we go astray from devotional service, such a glorious Lord will catch you and take you by the hair. You can imagine now what sort of a, you know, if someone, by this only we should understand that if someone can, you know, wholeheartedly, completely dedicate his life to the lotus feet of the Lord, then there's nothing else you need to do. Because these particular statements reveal the fact that the Lord will never leave you also. Example is there in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Kala Krishna Das, who was associate of Lord Chaitanya while he was touring South India. Now you can imagine the fortune of Kala Krishna. Can you just imagine? Only yourself and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, nothing else. No one else. And traveling for almost 6 months with the Lord. Only Lord. You are with the Lord only. No one else. Just like if you are with your spiritual master alone and get all the association. So Lord, but this person, Kal Krishna Das, he got enamored by the gypsies, the Bhattaharis. And he left the wonderful association of Lord Chaitanya and then went to the camp of the Bhattaharis. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, when he came to know that Kal Krishna Das has left, he just went to the camp of Bhattaharis himself, went there directly, and he said, "Please give me, I am a sannyasi, I am alone. You know, I need him." The Bhattaharis tried to revolt, they wanted to attack Lord Chaitanya. But Chaitanya somehow or other completely mesmerized them, and they started fighting with each other, and then through all these things he just pulled the Bhattari and took him away from that place. So this is what is, you know, that when one remains chaste to Lord in devotional service, then we should be understood, or we should understand that the Lord will never leave us. Haridas Thakur, you know, by the power of his devotion, what all things. Maya Devi herself came to seduce Haridas Thakur, but he could not. Just imagine, like once is only Radhanath Maharaj saving them. You can't imagine also. Sometimes we get attracted by some beauty here in this material world, but Maya Devi herself personified. Means you can imagine she might have used all her resources just to somehow or the other divert Haridas Thakur's attention away from the holy name. But Haridas Thakur was so chaste to his particular dharma of chanting his 3 lakh names of Hare Krishna Mahamantra every day. You know, he could not divert, she could not divert her attention away from that. The prostitute Laksha Hira, who was sent by Ramchandra Khan, also could not divert Haridas Thakur's attention away. That is a sort of a devotion that Haridas Thakur had. That's why he is Namacharya for us. He is a, you know, personification of the holy name for us, all of us. And we also know that one Shandan Amarka asked Prahlad Maharaj, he said, where are you getting all this power from? Because he would preach to his friends, he would defy his father, who was the most powerful person in the universe at that time. When he would raise his eyebrows, the demigods would be scared of him. But then, when Shandan Amarka asked Prahlad, he said, from where are you getting this power from? You know, Prahlad Maharaj said, says from the Supreme Lord. And he said that just as iron filings are attracted to the magnet naturally, my mind is naturally attracted to the Supreme Personality, to the Supreme Lord. And this is also very symbolic, because iron filings, you know, as Gaur Gopal Prabhu in one wonderful class, he was mentioning that iron filings don't have to attend a Bhagavad Gita course to say that now you get attracted to a magnet. They don't have to be given instructions. Now there is a magnet here, the iron filings, please get attracted. No. As soon as the magnet is there and iron filings are there, they are going to get attracted. Naturally. So, Prahlad Maharaj was naturally attracted to the Supreme Lord. He said, my mind is naturally attracted just as the iron filings are attracted. It's only when the iron filings are rusted, then it wouldn't get attracted. So similarly, because of our, you know, anarthas in our heart, we are not. But by regular association, regular, you know, sadhana, that we purify our heart from all these anarthas, and then afterwards we just naturally become attracted to the Supreme Lord. That's natural. You know, it's not that difficult. As in the Srimad Bhagavatam is mentioned, that the mind is like that unchaste woman. Just like if a woman who is unchaste can cause a disaster in a family. In fact, so much so that an unchaste woman can cause, can even go to the extent of killing her own husband if she's attached to a paramour. I know one example. I have one patient of mine who got married, very handsome boy, very well-to-do family, and got married to a girl, and I had seen that girl also. After the marriage, they came to my place. And after 2 months, this is about 4-5 years back, incident. And after some 2-3 weeks or months, I do not remember how much time, the girl ran away with someone else after getting married. And this person became completely mad. He became so mad that he would not go to his office. His father had a big business. He would not go to his office at all. He would be all the time in the house. And even now also, he has not come out of the shock. Even now also. Just recently, he was in my place. So, he's all right. He's not married still. But then, even now also, he cannot get over that particular feeling. That, you know, how can she leave and go? In other words, the entire, you know, the family is completely disturbed even now. Just to see that situation, you know. He's okay. He talks normally. But he's not his normal self as he was. Now, this is only one incident which you are talking about, but there may be so many things which happen in this present day world. And so, the Srimad Bhagavatam mentions that an unchaste woman can go to that extent that he can kill her husband also. She can kill her husband. He says, similarly, the mind is like that. If the mind is unchaste, if the mind is allowed to divert away from, then the mind will engage into so many things like lust, anger, greed, and so many things. And it ultimately kill the yogi. I don't know the verse exactly, but that's what the translation is, that ultimately kills the yogi himself. In other words, the propensity to perform devotional service is completely gone if you allow the mind to divert away from the attention of the Supreme Lord. We find how in the life of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada is that one example, you know, who is a symbol of faithfulness and chastity, you know. So Srila Prabhupada is a symbol of strength for the whole world, just as a chaste woman is a symbol of strength for husband. In fact, Srila Prabhupada is a symbol of strength for all of us, in fact, through his books, through his instructions, through his devotees. All this, you know, Srila Prabhupada just gives that strength because of his, you know, undivided attention or devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And just as a chaste woman brings in peace, prosperity, and well-being in the house, similarly, Srila Prabhupada, by spreading the holy names, he uttered in an era of peace and prosperity. In fact, in the West, you know, when a policeman approached in New York, I don't remember the exact incident, but he said, how to curb the crime here in this city of New York? So Srila Prabhupada said, just give us one place in the center of this and we'll just chant the holy names and then everything will be done. So this person, he understood the importance of this, but he could not do much. But Srila Prabhupada realized that only the way you can bring in peace and prosperity by spreading the holy names. And Srila Prabhupada was empowered by the Guru Parampara to bring in more and more people to the lotus feet of the Lord. Just as a chaste woman begets, you know, a wonderful Krishna conscious child, similarly, a powerful personality who is completely dedicated to the lotus feet can bring in more and more people to the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, influence others to take shelter of the Lord. Just as Raghunath Das Goswami, by just having first time darshan of Haridas Thakur, he decided that I want to take shelter of the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Srila Prabhupada was empowered by that, just to bring in more and more people to the lotus feet of the Lord. And just like a chaste woman is an asset to the whole society, Srila Prabhupada assets was instruction of spiritual master and the blessings of Guru Parampara. That was his asset. And this he wanted to share with all of us. Srila Prabhupada was completely, you know, strict in following the instructions. In fact, he was meditating right from the time he got the instruction from his spiritual master. And he always would find ways and means to just see how we can execute the orders of his spiritual master. And that was his asset, basically, you know. And just as a chaste woman becomes a very, very powerful example to the whole world by her chastity, as Srila Prabhupada mentions, that this is a natural wall, otherwise it creates a disaster. And in the example of Sukanya, how Srila Prabhupada mentions that everyone has to follow this example. So Srila Prabhupada, like that, was a powerful preacher. And just by his compassion to the fallen conditioned souls, you know, he would work tirelessly and just get so many people. So just by his personal example and by his intense compassion upon the fallen conditioned souls, Srila Prabhupada was thus a powerful preacher and trying to attract more and more people to his to lotus feet of Shri Guru and lotus feet of the Lord. So we find that how when one remains chaste to one's spiritual master and one follows it to the core of his heart without getting deviated, then one gains immense benefit. And it doesn't benefit you alone, but it benefits yourself and the entire world. Hare Krishna. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you.